conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silent, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Oh.
The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Shh, say it again, Shaw. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
All right, welcome. Welcome to the show today, guys. Some problems, Skype upgrades. It's software, and they change things dramatically to the point where you have problems connecting one call, two calls together. Let's see here. All right, so... One second here. Yeah, and it's Welcome to Cold Reality Radio today here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network. Okay. All right, now I'm trying to get Patrick Jordan on. I had him connected to him, and then last night I saw UCY add to call, and now today with the new version – that button's gone. Thank you, Skype and Microsoft. That button is gone. So Patrick's going to try to call in on the Skype number, the 718 number, Jules. So can we try to link him in when he calls in? All right, so welcome. Patrick is my guest today, and he will be on with us shortly. We're going to talk about his incredible work. Jules is back there at the helm, and she's going to get Patrick through. And we're going to talk about vaccine fraud, vaccinefraud.com. We're going to talk about the history, the timeline of these crimes against the living, and of course the dead as well, because I don't think someone said that we should, even though people have died, we should still address them as if they were still here, because that honors them and it helps us cope with you know, these different mechanisms in the world here today. So Jules is running to her to the main dashboard of UCY, and we're going to have Patrick on in a second. So it is December 10th, Sunday. We're in the 12th month already of 2017. The world is on fire once again. I can't even say in part by Donald Trump, but his announcement the other day just took about a minute or two, but it's sent shockwaves through the rest of the world. And the United States Corporation, the power that it has, the ability to just say something and then it sets, the religious zealots on fire, and they want to burn down. And I mean, there's so many reasons for it, but it's disturbing, to say the least. And it's at the worst possible time, like so many people, so many so-called officials at the UN saying this is a bad idea. And we go with that. So let's see if we can, maybe there's something on here that will allow me to connect to Patrick. I apologize to everybody out there. This is this is our technology today. It's amazing. It can be amazing, but then why I can't, call like before, call Patrick and then add to call like last night. Added some Skype credits to be able to call him to make it easier. And unfortunately, it's we're 8 minutes in. Right. All right. So, Patrick, can you hear me? Hello? No, I can't hear him. All right. I'll try to get you the number. This is most disturbing. Anyway, let me see if I can. I can't. Oh my God! It won't even show me the number, for God's sake. You can only be connected to one call at a time here. Oh, wow. Sorry, people. Cold reality. That's the cold reality of our world today, that, it shouldn't be this hard. But, I mean, Skype is really, truly saying right now that you can only talk to one person at a time. So maybe they've removed the ability for you to call somewhere and then call someone else. That's what it says when I click on the call, when I click on his, and it says, you can be connected to only one call at a time. Do you want to hang up with the current call and start a new one? So it does not apparently allow this to happen anymore. Wow. All right, so we're gonna get to the crux of this as this unfolds here. They actually put the mute button back on for whoever you're speaking with, but this does not really. All right, so this is most unfortunate. My apologies out there. Cold Reality Radio here on the UCY.TV broadcasting network. Skype is apparently an absolute disease, and I just wish that I had the ability to create a platform.
Hello,
Patrick. There you are. Thank God. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Right. Okay. I apologize.
And I called the station number several times.
Okay. All right. So apparently, when I tried to, like as I said last night, I communicated with Patrick and said, I'm getting it all set up so I'll be able to call you, and then I'll add to UCY, and then we can get started. And I had no idea at that time that they were going to upgrade Skype and remove features that were in place on the version that I had last night. So my apologies, Patrick. Thank you for being here today. Patrick Jordan from vaccinefraud.com. And we're going to talk about a plethora of information today. I received on a Thursday, I received my copy and three other copies of Patrick's books, some of Patrick's life work here. ICD-999, Vaccine-Induced Diseases, the Chronic Serum Sickness Postulate. Okay? And if I'm correct, this is the one that started the whole thing? This is the book that...
You are correct, sir. I shouldn't call you sir. Hey, you know, Clint has like nearly everybody on the list afraid to even speak a word without like vetting the word first.
Right. He's just trying to change the world one word at a time.
One word. Oh, I'm in pain, man. I just had breakfast. Don't make me bring it up.
So again, vaccinefraud.com. We are seeing, and it just blows me away, because over the years listening, over the past, I want to say year and a half, listening to Patrick and Clint and the archives and everything that they spoke about, two people really truly breaking down the, you know, to the maybe the smallest common denominator disease and how it is created, how it is just the manifestation of disease, and most people cannot again even fathom that these things are taking place. The level at which they're taking place, it's the things that nightmares are made of. It really is.
Welcome to my nightmare.
If you can get to the point where you can understand this information, or even a small percentage of what Patrick understands and has worked with and written about, and now you know, making videos on YouTube to further express this chemical and biological attack that hasn't just been going on for, you know, since the American Medical Association. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of years. This attack, this evil that just is looking to find new ways to hurt people. And I mean, and this is the thing that people cannot even grasp. They don't want to grasp. We live in a nation, except for us, a small percentage of people. We live in a nation of thumbsuckers. It doesn't matter how old they get. They are thumbsuckers. They have been programmed to be thumbsuckers, and it's what they do. They're professional thumbsuckers.
Oh, no, don't. This is too funny.
Sorry.
I can't write that
fast. I watch people all day. I participate in this fiction, in someone else's creation, this fiction that Clint writes about, has written about extensively in Strawman, The Real Story of Your Artificial Person. And then you just realize. I mean, I don't know that I would want to go back to ignorance, because if I was in full ignorance at this point of my life, at this age that I am right now, I'd probably be riddled with disease. Just riddled.
Well, Charlie, you know, I'm always referring to the Matrix, not because it's authoritative, but because it's a point of reference that people can bridge the gap with. Neo says, I can't go back, can I? And Morpheus said, if you could, would you? We are at such a point, you know, we collectively, the people that get it, we are at such a point that we realize that everything that we were immersed in is a complete and utter lie for the purpose of destroying us. So why would you go back into that meat grinder?
And it takes some time to, even if you're, you know, you're kind of torn between ignorance and the real, but you still kind of, you know, I would say, you know, like, oh God, I don't even want to know this anymore. But then it's like, it's almost as if it's a rite of passage. Like if there is a, you know, a checklist of things
right.
that you have to understand to be able to move to the next level, wherever that is, whatever it is.
Right.
These are the things that you have to understand fully. You have to understand ICD-999, you have to understand that you are under attack, not only chemically, but mentally, you know, in so many different ways. And that's why I say, if I was in ignorance, like most, swimming in a sea of just ignorance all day long, I would be probably riddled with disease. Not that I'm, you know, I mean, I could drop dead tomorrow, but I just feel as though the information that I've gathered over the last, 20 years, it was like something just gnawing at me, like nutrition. And I don't know why I was always against needles, always against vaccine, mostly because it's like just inherently, or maybe from a past life, I don't know. I'm like, don't even come at me with that needle. Is it just because
it's innate knowledge? The little kids run from doctors with needles, and then their parents chase them back. So it's inherent. It's innate to the organism to know that there's something fundamentally wrong there. But that's the problem, Charlie. Nobody pays attention to that gut reaction. Why? Because they were raised as herd animals. And the herd animals do what their masters told them.
Yeah. And, I mean, we are kind of a herd-like people. I mean, we, you know, in genetically, right? But the programming has these, you know, the agents. the doctors, the police officers, they come in and they destroy the code. They're like, if you don't take this, you're going to get this, and then you're going to get sick, maybe die, and then you're going to give it to this, just like they do. Like every time this year, watching the television, what do they say on the local, you know, NBC affiliate? They're like, oh, you know, information on the flu, how bad it's going to get this year, how bad this, and then you, and then you'll get Christy Yamaguchi, right? The figure skater, and she'll be like, who is the face of influenza? And it turns out everybody's the face of influenza. Everybody needs to get a flu shot because you're either around a baby or you're around somebody with a compromised immune system that came from a vaccine, no doubt.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it just goes on. And it's like people will say, people will admit, oh, you know, it's about money. Oh, yeah, they just want to keep making more money. And it's like, no, a-hole, they're making money. And the dirty little secret is that they're making you less alive. They're making you less of what you are going, you were going to be.
So what we have to do, Charlie, we have to destroy this notion that it's about money. When you can print money at will that literally has no value, it's not about the money. It never has been. So get that out of your heads. It's just a point scoring system for them because they're playing a game. What are they playing a game? Let's kill as many people as we possibly can because it's fun. Now, you had sent some ideas that you wanted to cover on the show, and I like to keep things thematic. So let's just examine the flu. It is well known that the influenza A causes Parkinson's like, and you got to love it when they do that because that's a hedge. You already know when they say Parkinson's like damage in the brain, they're covering the vaccine because influenza A figures into a lot of their poisons. So what we're looking at is the purposeful damage of the brain. When I was looking to write ICD-999, I was looking into muscular dystrophy and Jerry Lewis and the telethons. You know, he's collected billions of dollars since the 1960s. Billions of dollars. And they're no farther along with MD, MS, ALS than they were in the 1960s. But when you look at their promotional material, for $12 donation, he can get a kid a flu shot. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, holy, can I cuss?
You know, just your passion.
Okay, and you know, if it's a family show, I won't cuss, but I will go, holy, you know, insert your own expletive here. They're giving MD to the kids through the flu shot because it's a central nervous system destroyer. So this, it's beyond money. It's a planned genocide.
And that's the thing. I mean, the closer that you get, you know that it's happening, and the closer that you get to the information and the details of the information, like your emails, your daily emails, there's anywhere from like maybe 5 to 10, you know, with your group, where you break down and you kind of collectivize in what I consider the best possible way, and talk about all of these different reports that come out. There was one about aluminum where Patrick's like, let's try to figure out where this overdose of aluminum, where is it coming from?
Yeah. I'll throw a palliative at you. And see, I'm now spelling it alternative medicine with a big N-O-T in the middle, alternative, because they're in on it, man. Yeah. And see, Charlie, early on, because I was chemically damaged, early on I started studying physiology. And when you do that, you're going down to the biological molecules and going, oh, this is what's messed up. Like an S-adenosylmethionine is it's the active form that you need to be able to prosecute life. And so it's like, wow, I didn't know that was what was damaged. And then you go out and you look at, like, vitamin sales. Well, I'll be damned. S-adenosylmethionine is something that you can buy. Now, how would you be able to buy that unless they knew they damaged it in the first place? So they're in on it. They're cashing in. Again, it's not about the money. It's about keeping workers functional before they die. And if you're smart enough to look at the biology, if you're smart enough to go to alternative medicine and get that thing that'll limp you along, it's a palliative. It didn't correct anything. Because, like, you know, right now with the autistic kids, they're looking at the MTHFR gene. It's the methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase gene that has one single letter error in it, and it will, like dominoes. Have you seen Vias for Vendetta? Those amazing domino displays. It only took one domino to knock the entire thing down. When you take out that one letter in one gene, it disrupts so many systems of the body. And what's the answer? Merck, a vaccine manufacturer, came up with the methylfolate, a special prescription drug to replace the thing that these kids can no longer make. So it's so insidious that they created the disease, they create the palliation, but nobody's being corrected. So you brought up the email where, okay, they've got intervention for pulling the aluminum out. Okay, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it's still palliative. Where the hell did the aluminum come from? Nobody's getting down to the root cause, man.
Yeah. And so what we... And one of the things that just really fascinates me that you and of a plethora of things that fascinate me about the conversations that you and Clint have had on the Corporation Nation was about the... what was it? The SOD, was it?
Oh, man. Oh, please.
The oxide dismutase.
Superoxide dismutase.
Where this...
you're going to make me spend the entire show explaining that one, man. Because that's an entire show, but keep going.
But this is a... you know, the thing is here, it's just, do we need all of these... vitamins? Do we need all of this? Do we need all that? The food, as Patrick has described and explained and expressed in many different ways, that the food at one time was all that we really needed, because the body has these mechanisms to be able to destroy any amount of free radicals that get into the body through this superoxide dismutase.
Mm-hmm.
It has the ability to just take care of and be this amazing, incredible immune system function. You can only call it, you know, God or nature, like Clint has pointed out any number of times, where back in one of the stories from Clint's documentary, where he said that they went in and they injected the rabbit with a specific toxin, you know, just a plethora of nasties that would almost assuredly take this rabbit out. You know, like Elmer Fudd was looking for years.
Stop it, man. That's too funny, man.
And so what they find is that the rabbit... it starts to exhibit, you know, signs of, you know, she's breaking up, you know. And then the rabbit rebounds and it's well again. It's good. It's like, and they're like, how the heck did this? So they're doing They're doing the experiments. They're doing the they're checking. They have the ability at that point in the 50s to be able to look at the cellular level. I'm sure it's much more advanced today, CRISPR and things like that. But now that back then they had the ability to look at the immune system and say, what was it? What was it that made this rabbit not face it? Completely face it. And they, whatever that substance was, whatever that reaction, that mechanism of action that keeps this living organism alive. And life in and of itself, now that they say life is precious, most people have no idea how precious it is and how it came to be. We didn't come from fucking apes, okay? And so they figure out, instead of not messing with it, not messing with this thing, this action that went in and saved bugs, okay?
Bugs.
They said, we're going to, whoever was doing the study, the people that, you know, the workers, Rockefeller wanted, the obedient workers, somebody was, who funded the action, said, what was that? We need to find out what that was. You know, like the guy, the supervisor who's on the floor to this, on the floor of the sweatshop saying, what was that? What did you do? Show me all the information that you've got. Show it to me now. And the reason was to find out what that was and interfere with it.
You're damn straight.
So interferon was, I guess, what they named this. They have to name something, which is, you know, part of the whole word thing and the part of the whole flattering title thing and the reason why we're in the shitstorm that we are today. You can drop the S word every now and then. Okay. So don't hold back. And so the interferon that interfered with bugs facing completely, they went in there and said, what did that? And we need to know what it is. Not for just to understand that what just happened here was just a miracle of just absolute creation. They said, we need to know what did that because we're going to hijack that thing.
That's right.
We're going to hijack that thing that should not be touched with, that should not be questioned, that should not be, nothing should be done. Just stop, break all your equipment down. Know that you just saw a miracle of creation and we're not going to mess with this ever again. It happens in rabbits and animals, and so it happens with man and woman. And this thing is so amazing that we're just going to leave it alone. No, that's not what they did. That's what I would say. I would want to know more about it just for my own, just to try to find out, you know, more about it, because I don't have I don't want to kill anybody, Patrick. I don't want to kill a baby. I don't want to kill a woman or a man or an animal even. You know, I do eat that animal, but there's levels of me that maybe kind of want to stop that. But the interfering with this process is the evil that we're talking about, that we expose, that Patrick exposes, you know, to a degree that is just, you know, just fascinating to me, his work. I can't truly focus on certain things. I learned how to play guitar really well. I learned just by watching this system and saying, there's something wrong with this. Why would something be allowed out and approved by the FDA that has been deemed to be bad? Why this? Why that? And then, of course, I find out through a melonhead, Alex Jones.
Melonhead.
So I get, you know, like 70 or 80% of the truth, and then You know, it's like he's an expert sandwich maker, and he's like, "Hi, my name's Alex. Hi, my name's Alex Jones, and I'll make this sandwich for you, okay?" And he's like, "Hold on a second. What do you want on it?" And then, you know, I'm like, "All right, well, I want some ham. I want some cheese. I want this." And then when you look away, when the pretty girl walks by the store, he slips a turd in. Okay? So Alex will he'll fill you in on things. He'll tell you, and then he'll slip a little bit of – he'll put a turd in there, which makes
it – Okay, so let me deturdify you right now, because you – and I've known you for a while, Shally. You open up so many cans of worms, and you're putting them all on the table, and it's like, ooh, there's a juicy – nope, he opened another one. Oh, I like that brand of worms. No, oh, he opened another one. I've got to slow you down.
I'm a carpet bomber.
I have 13 books that I wrote myself. I've got two Cruikshank transcriptions. So that's like my vaccine bibliography. So as we progress past ICD-999, which you plugged, I've got my next two books, which is The Rise and Fall Kingdom Plantae, Rise and Fall Kingdom Animalia. And there's a chapter in each of those. Kingdom Plantae has a chapter called The Public Health Service. Kingdom Animalia has The Boys of Company A. And it explains in no uncertain terms, undeniably, that the health care system of the world was created by the military. So when you talk about something like the FDA, and, you know, why would they do that? It's because they're freaking military, man. And once you understand, see, one of the memes that I try to convey to people is this. If you say it the way it is, then there is no debate. Because what people like to do, and this is the problem with words and fiction, you and I could right now have a conversation about what color Peter Pan's tunic is. Is it forest green or is it Kelly green? And then there's somebody like me screaming in the background going, Peter Pan don't exist. So we could argue what color his tunic is, but it doesn't matter because he's a total fiction. Now, when you say that the entirety of modern healthcare was developed as a military organization, the FDA is a military organization, then when somebody says, well, they're there as the watchdog to protect us, it's like, and I'm sorry because I'm used to cussing like a sailor, you've got to be out of your insert expletive here mind.
Right. Yeah. It's,
So can I just address the SOD thing that you brought up? And that's one of and by the way, some of the best radio in the history of the world can be found in the archives that Drew Carter maintains for Clint Richardson. And the stuff that we did together, you will find, because this is all I do. Shally, I have been doing this nonstop, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week since 2008. So for the past nine years, this is all that I've ever done. And I study data all day, every day. Nobody in the world has covered the topics that you are referring to like me and Clint. Nobody. And he had a blog that basically showed, and see, this supports the things that you've been talking about. He had a blog that covered the concept of SOD, superoxide dismutase, and basically said, hey, they turned it into a prion-generating weapon. And that's what you're saying. Same thing with interferon. They found a process in the body and go, hey, how can we mess this up beyond recognition so that it actually hurts people? But let's look at SOD. Why would you need an enzyme that buffers oxidative reactions? Because the body uses oxygen radicals to not only build tissue, but to destroy it as well. So when a white blood cell comes into an infectious situation, it goes, oh, look, that ain't me, and bam, hits it with a flamethrower of oxygen. When you do that, there's some collateral damage, and so the body says, oh, look, I got this enzyme, superoxide dismutase. It's pretty good. Glutathione is okay, too, but, you know, we're going to come in here, and we're going to scavenge oxygen radicals. Ooh, look, some ascorbate, vitamin C. Yeah, we'll use some of that, too. And it cleans up house, and that is what you're saying. Okay, and so I had a private conversation with who I consider the smartest man that ever lived. His name is Gilbert Ling. You can find him at gilbertling.org. Gilbertling.com has some really heavy stuff that even I can't figure out, but his .org site will tell you everything you need to know about life. This guy's the smartest man in the world, and he said to me, the functions of a human cell are elegant. It's like what happens in there is like a flock of geese. And if you ever watch birds, they just move with this flowing, you know, they'll move with the air currents, they'll move with, you know, whatever stimulus is driving them, but they move in, you know, a concerted fashion. Yeah. That's what cells do. And we would live, I would think, reasonably healthy, undisturbed lives if they weren't purposely out to harm us.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how it would all be. But they've got us so, you know, so fixated on disease, so fixated on when you get to 50 or 60, you're pretty much dead. Right? You know what I mean? They just got everybody believing that. And I mean, like, when sometimes when people die, they're just like natural causes. It's like, what? Like, right. What is natural causes?
Right. We're actually looking at that as a countdown timer. I learned from one of my list members, and, you know, there's a lot of phrases that women have that men might not be privy to. It's called the fabulous 40s and the fall apart 50s. And I was laughing, and then all of a sudden I wasn't laughing because I do consults. Mm-hmm. And I tell people what I would do if I was in their situation and I had their particular health picture. And because of that, Sholly, I have met dozens of broken women. And one of the things that I often ask them is, you don't have to tell me your exact age, but are you over 50? Because it might be have something to do with telomeres wearing down, but right. I think they put a countdown timer in our bodies that by the time, and it doesn't matter if it's just women, it's men too. By the time you reach age 50, the human body actually literally starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? Because we were always joking about this. Cars with computers. If you bought a modern car and it had a warranty, that thing would, like, fail miserably, like, the day after the warranty went.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they did to us. And they're doing it with glee. I mean, they have that level of control, but they also have that level of, like, sadism. And that's why I say it's not about the money. They enjoy destruction.
When you said broken women, I was wondering if Harvey Weinstein or Al Franken were in the area, like at any of, you know what I mean? If you're broken women now, I'm thinking, oh God, where's Al Franken at? So you speak with them and they kind of tell you this the same thing with the breakdown, because what I see is for a lot of these women and the one of the major wars against them, not only weaponized feminism, but all of the chemical body sprays or body lotions,
yeah,
or lipstick, mascara, hair, shampoo, mm-hmm, whatever it is, the chemicals in there go a long way, I truly believe, into creating just, you know, batshit craziness.
So here's the definition again. If we just say it like it is, then there is no debate. We are immersed in full spectrum asymmetrical warfare. So what, and it, no relation to the modern John Birch. John Birch was surgeon extraordinaire to the Prince of Wales at the time when Cruikshank was writing his book. And this guy was exquisitely literate. And he basically said vaccination is not only a fraud, it's like one of the most dangerous things on the planet. And in his dissertation, this surgeon, John Birch, said that just like the Jesuits of old, the vaccinationists have realized that if they can get into the family through the woman, because back then, you know, and like you said with feminism, they have socially engineered people, and especially with gender fluidity, I love that word, they've so disrupted any sense of family. But back in those days, the woman was the centerpiece of the household, and she basically dictated how a family was going to go in terms of nutrition and health, religion, and, you know, just I would throw in there morals and ethics and education. She was it. The mother was the center. And the Jesuits knew that, and that's why they would always, like, prey on the woman to get her inculcated into the Catholic religion, and then they had the entire family. So the vaccinationists knew that principle, and they then targeted women to become the vaccinators. That was the beauty of Jenner. He actually, like, wrote about it extensively. Yeah, we taught these women how to do it, the mechanics of vaccination, when everybody should have been saying, what the hell? You're taking the pus off the genitals of an animal, and you're going to put it into what?
Right.
But it was all about the how. And he would stroke the women's egos and make them feel good that they had accomplished something when he was spreading disease, you know, syphilis, tuberculosis, scabies, cattle measles, it's called rinderpest, spreading these, and they called them bestial diseases through the entire population, to the point where now we have all those things embedded in us at a genetic level. But it was through the agency of women. And so when I work with women, what I do find is they've got this range of physical breakdown that's nearly similar. Now, and here's the most important meme that, that people need to know, because the gurus will say, hey, we're all unique, so there won't be a magic bullet that fixes everybody. That's half the truth. We are unique because we were damaged in unique ways with vaccines. Pretty much, we should be able to eat our way to health, just like you said like a half an hour ago. Food, like Hippocrates said, should be our medicine, but it isn't. And now what are we stuck with? We're stuck with broken bodies that need tons, and we're talking hundreds of dollars worth of supplements just to survive? Are you freaking kidding me? Because, and this, see, Jolly, what I'm trying to do is give really short soundbite thoughts that, you know, if you just pick one thing that I say, let's look at vitamin C. In the days of seafaring, you could cure scurvy with a few lemons. A lemon, one lemon has 70 milligrams of vitamin C. So with a few lemons, you could cure, and I'm using that word because I can't get in trouble with the FDA because that was the days of seafaring. You could cure it, a few lemons. Today, they're using IVs with 40 grams. So that's 40,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and people are just limping along. The problem is nobody's asking why. Why the hell could you eat a few lemons and be cured of a disease, and now they have to shoot you up with unheard of levels of a substance that needs a buffer, because otherwise it would burn your insides. It would kill you. That much vitamin C would kill you with the acid. So they buffer it, and they put it in an IV, and you're barely surviving. People aren't asking the question.
Right. Now, would it matter how long the scurvy took place? I mean, I guess these guys were out on the ships for an extended period of time, but also they weren't, I guess they were drinking to a certain extent, but did a lot of their food come from, you know, like acidity, like an acidic base back in those days?
Here's the tiny bit, because, and Shaw, I'm going to try to keep on talking points that you gave me, because, you know, you're always like, and you're opening another can of worms, so I'm just going to go back to the previous can of worms. One of the things that they discovered, because, you know, they called British sailors limeys, because the new legend said that they really didn't bring limes with them, they brought lemons. So either way, whether they brought limes or lemons, it was that citrus fruit with just a tiny amount of vitamin C that helped them, but nobody talks about this one. They would have vats of fermenting cabbage, so sauerkraut vats in the holds of the ship, and everybody would get sauerkraut after they discovered that, you know, this was the scurvy could be treated with, wait a minute, food? Did I just say that again? You could treat a lethal disease. So Albert St. Gheorghe, the guy that's credited with discovering vitamin C, said that by the time you get scurvy, that's a sign that you're on your way out, meaning you're going to die. That's how bad it is. He said, all you need is something like, and because he was studying the Hungarian paprika pepper, all you need is the, and they were using extracts at the time, and they would inject it, you know, because they were doctors. It's like, hey, look, you know, make the frog leg jump with electricity. They were doing their experiments, but basically the bottom line was, if you ate healthy food, because, you know, Hungarians are nuts for paprika peppers, if you ate healthy food, you would have all the components that you needed to live. So what were they doing? To treat a lethal disease. And that's what I want to emphasize. Scurvy isn't just something, oh, you know, your teeth are falling out and your skin's falling off. Because, come on, man. They had to pull ropes and they had to do hard labor. These guys, the skin was coming off their hands because the scurvy was so bad. They couldn't even walk. They were being crippled. They could not function on these ships, and they said, we got to do something because it's hurting commerce. So they discovered the whole, you know, fix it with food thing. They fixed it with lemons and sauerkraut, man. They fixed it with vitamin C in food. And today, Sholly, we can't even eat our way out of a disaster.
Wow.
And so, yeah, what I'm doing is bringing in the whole ferment thing. And by the way, if you didn't know that, you know, I said, hey, you know, don't forget this can of worms over here.
I gotcha. So,
hey, are we set up for commercials? Do we get a break?
Hey, if you need to take a few minutes.
No, I don't. I just, oh, no, I really, to see on RBN, the minute you got really powered into an idea, it's like, okay, we'll be back after this next commercial.
Yeah, I mean, Oracle used to be that way when it was commercial after commercial. But no, we've not done that. We've not done that here on UCY, so it's 2 hours, or, you know, just a little under 2 hours of whatever you want to say. And, you know, if you're moving up the hill, you're going.
Okay. So, and I'm done with my soapbox. Continue on.
Okay. So, interesting thing here, like scurvy back then, you mentioned the teeth and the skin. So if the, you know, that they'll say today that heart disease is a form of scurvy. So if they got to the point back in the day where they had a form of scurvy, a visual form of scurvy, what was going on inside the body, inside the heart, that was protecting that? Because, I mean, if heart disease is a form of scurvy, then you know, something else has taken place.
You're asking the right questions. I'll tell you, there's certain parts of your body, like your mouth and your eyes, if they get injured, they will heal quicker than any other part of your body because they're essential for life. So your body compartmentalizes, and it will, like, shunt energy and growth to certain parts that are critical for keeping the organism going, which means that if it finally shows up internally in a protected organ like the heart, because the heart never stops beating for the entire life of the organism, if it gets that far, you're in a world of hurt, man.
Right. Right. So, all right, let's see. We were talking about the fermentation. We can probably say that till the end, but I've been drinking like a ferment or whenever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Been drinking a fermented juice that has, I'm sure, you know, cabbage, different things in it. Also, it's kind of like a yellowish color. It's got some turmeric in there. But a lot of people that have been drinking this have reported that they've had really positive, a very positive type of reactions, whether it be weight loss, pain going away. And what I know about fermentation is that when you put that level of bacteria, the good bacteria in the gut, it kind of cleans up the transfer paths in the small intestines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And allows more nutrients to be able to pass through there, because what we know about or what has been reported about GMO, about a lot of the different foods, whether it just even be gluten, where gluten will just, you know, go in there undigested, it will block the absorption rate and or completely. I mean, that's why you see a lot of these people that are incredibly heavy, the last thing that you would think is that they're starving to death. But the bottom line is that they kind of are, because, you know, the inflammation in the body that's caused by the lack of nutrients, even if the body's not even handling those nutrients the right way, like they did years ago with the scurvy, having, you know, a 70 milligrams and then some sauerkraut, finding out a lot about the gut and the brain and how there are, like, neurotransmitters in the gut.
Right.
There's finding out so many, like, fantastic things that, of course, not coming from mainstream, not coming from
not coming out of a pill bottle, man. So yeah. If you can keep your thought, John Rappaport did, like, amazing work on, and see, we're caught now in a disbelieve everything meme, so it's really hard to tell. Were there really school and theater shootings, or were they crisis action? Did they happen or didn't they? But
yeah.
The one thing that is established is that the actors, as they are called, in these events were all on SSRIs, selective serotonin uptake inhibitors. Now, serotonin is essential for keeping the brain calm. What they just released recently is that maybe 80% of the serotonin is not endogenous, meaning you're not making it. It comes from the microbes in your gut. Now, let's just think, because you're talking about, quote-unquote, the good bugs. What if you don't have good bugs, maybe even have bad bugs in your gut, and you're not making the serotonin? So did mental disease come because you're got an emotional problem, or it's psychological, or was it from the freaking bugs, man?
Right.
essential to health. So when you have microbes in your digestive tract, they eat what you eat, and they put out waste material. Quite often, the waste material are vitamins. So why would we need vitamins if you're eating good food and the bugs are making them for you? And again, it's balance. But what did the controllers do? What they always do, they looked at the bugs, and especially DARPA, they go, oh, damn, we can turn that into a weapon.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've got to say this because it's becoming a serious problem. If your beverage, your fermented food, has anything listed on the ingredients that says kombucha, run the hell away. That
right.
is
talking about that before you were talking about the
that
efficacy.
Is something that you don't want to put in your body. And you know, again, we're talking about warfare, and so it's not, oh, you know, this is a commercial product and they're trying to make money and, you know, it's for health. No, half of what is out there are cheese on a mouse trap that's going to kill the mouse. If it says kombucha, run away.
And that was something over, I want to say, the last 3 to 5 years that I've been seeing this, you know, this product. And I've you know, drank it a number of times, you know, very, I mean, it was decent tasting. But what is it about the kombucha that is non-beneficial and or damaging?
Well, it's because kombucha is not. Kombucha was a collection of organisms that was indigenous to China that made its way to Russia and somehow came to America, where people put tea with yeast in a jar on a table and say it's kombucha. And it's like, what, are you clinically insane? So what happens is you get this mucopolysaccharide plug floating on the surface of sparkling vinegar, and none of what you grew is safe. None of what they grow in commercial tanks is safe. And I watched a Kelly, you know, I'm going to name names. I watched a Kelly Rivera video on quote-unquote healing or curing autism, and they use a lot of products, and one of them is MMS, you know, it's an oxidative product, ooh, oxygen again, to drive out parasites. And she had pictures. This one mom said, I drove out a 40-inch long ropeworm. And when ropeworms first, you know, made their debut, I'm going, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I'm looking at the pictures. I'm reading all the stories about it on the premier website, you know, ropeworms.com. And I'm going, this isn't even an organism. They're making stuff up, and nobody's even challenging them at the basic science level. This is a mucopolysaccharide plaque that came from people that drank kombucha, and they go, oh my God, I thought I shed my intestinal lining. Well, you did, of sorts, because these organisms get in there. They put out basically biofilm. To, you know, again, if you say it what it is, there is no debate. They're putting out a biofilm, and people will brag, oh, I drank kombucha and I lost a ton of weight. It's like, yeah, because you're freaking starving. The biofilm coated your guts. And then for whatever reason, they might shed that lining and say, oh, look, I got a picture in my toilet. Look, I passed a ropeworm. It's like, no, in science, you're able to characterize all living organisms, and this has no characterization whatsoever. It doesn't exist. It's like a CIA psyop.
Right. And that the biofilm is something that a harmful organism uses to, that what I know of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, please. A biofilm is something that a harmful organism uses to kind of like an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
To the immune system, right?
It's the Klingons putting their cloaking device on their ship, man.
Right. So is that pretty accurate there with the body?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because, and why? Why? Let's think about this, Shali. It's what you said earlier. Left to its own devices, the human body has everything that it needs to clean up house. And so if that is true, then all of these invaders are at risk from a healthy human body. So therefore, a super pathogen would have to create a housing project to protect it from the cops coming in and clearing out the ghetto.
Right. And I remember hearing biofilm with regards to Lyme, HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, my sister is, at one point she was, she had a decent amount of weight on her. And then probably, I want to say around 2001, 2002, she just started to kind of lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started getting, long story short, they think that she has SIBO.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody does, by the way.
Intestinal overgrowth. But mm-hmm. what's happening is that she's getting so, she's getting so much indigestion, not so much heartburn. Mm-hmm. She's so much indigestion that it feels like she's kind of bloated all the time.
Yep,
and it's having really and apparently now it's just really getting to the point where she can't like really communicate because she's in discomfort all the time. So her husband, my brother-in-law, sent out an email saying that we're looking for this, we're looking, and I just wish that I could do something to to help her or you know that thing. So I mean.
Well, let's talk about that offline, just, sure. for the family aspect of it. But, see, the problem, Shali, again, because you and I were speaking before the show about ignorance of the general population. Now, ignorance is lack of knowledge. Ignorance can be corrected. So, because it can be corrected, if you remain ignorant, that means that you have chosen to be ignorant, and that is the tipping point to evil. So if we choose not to be ignorant, we start to go looking for things, and what people avoid looking at, and like I said, my meme is call it what it is and there is no debate. Well, it's like, okay, I don't want to be ignorant, I'm unwell, what have I got? Oh, I've got SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Okay, ooh, look, there's message boards. A lot of people have it. Oh, now I feel comfortable because now I know what I have. That's not the stopping point. The stopping point is, what did DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research, whatever the hell they are, agency, projects agency, what did they develop in their freaking labs to infect the entire population of the planet with so that you got SIBO? Because most of these things are unremediable. Right. You can't get rid of them once they've dug in with their, biofilm? And you just said that your sister lost a lot of weight. And what did I just say? And this is beautiful because I like tying all these concepts together. What did I just say about the biofilm from kombucha? It makes you lose weight because there ain't nothing getting through your gut, man. You're completely, you're full of clinker.
But so how can they say that they're feeling good? Like, I feel good that, but if it's blocked, I mean, like you're saying that it's blocking.
Okay, let's look at the work of Diana Schwartzbein, who wrote the Schwartzbein Principle. And she said, you ever notice that, like, if you're on a fast, you feel really good? She goes, that's because you're burning your own body structure. So you've got all this preformed, exquisitely crafted food. You're eating yourself. And so it's good food. and it feels good until the time that you start breaking your body down past its ability to repair itself. And so, you know, you got the adrenaline rush. Adrenaline will always be there in the background when people say, oh, I felt good. You know, hey, Charlie, I had a kale smoothie, and boy, did I feel good after I drank it. It's like, well, yeah, good job, asshole. You just destroyed your thyroid gland. Because everybody's ignorant. They're not asking the question, in the history of the world, has anybody ever liquefied kale and drank it? And the answer, of course, is, are you kidding me? Because all cruciferates have goitrogens in there. What is a goitrogen? Something that generates a goiter. What is a goiter? It's when your thyroid is so destroyed that it tries to grow bigger to work harder, but it can't. So nobody's breaking out of the ignorance. And so it's like, okay, I got SIBO. I'll try to find a way to palliate it, but nobody's going, oh, wait, this is actually a military weapon. It's based on biofilm. We have to figure out how to break up the biofilm. And there are ways that supposedly if you take probiotics that have D-lactate as a end product, it will break up biofilm. But then the catch-22, and this is, see, if you ever watch MacGyver, it's like he'll find a bomb or something. It's like, I need to cut the red wire. But if I cut the red wire, then there's a fail-safe wired in, and then that'll make the bomb go off. That's what they've done. So if you do take a probiotic that puts out D-lactate to break up the biofilm contains endotoxins, and if you're like autistic or you're sensitive, you got chemical allergies, it can get to the brain and really mess up your brain. So they've wired fail-safes into this, and this is why these things are so hard to get rid of, because if you try to get a remedy, you're going to end up needing a remedy for the remedy.
Right.
And I hope I'm clear. I'm pretty sure you will understand what I'm saying, but if people are hearing me for the first time, they're going, what did he say, Willis? Because it's deep. It's that deep. We can no longer look at things at just the surface. There is no quick answer. I got SIBO, what can I do? There's no quick answer, and it's going to be individualized, because I'm going to tell you something. The vaccines that your sister got are different than the ones I got. They're different than the ones you got. And that's why she's going to be different than us. Not because, you know, she's different as a human being and she's unique and all that. No, we were damaged in unique ways.
In a strategic way.
Very well. Yeah, very well said.
So I guess what you were saying there is, if you can break down the biofilm, then mm-hmm. you have to deal with, once the biofilm has been broken down, now you just unlock the cage.
Very so, well said, man.
So,
yeah.
So now yeah. you've got these things roaming around that don't have protection, and then you have to take the next step. Like when I'm
you're malnourished. Sorry to interrupt, because if you're malnourished, your immune system is going to be low. So we're always caught behind the eight ball in this catch-22. Okay, I broke the biofilm down. The little buggers are released. Now my immune system can kick in. And it's like, what immune system?
Yeah. You hope that there's one left, right?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And so, you know, let's take a look at, you know, the common myths, the common interventions. I'm not against oxygen therapy. Everything has its place. But I've got an article that I've circulated around for years now that says if you use, and I always knew it as dioxychlor, they call it MMS. Right. It's just chlorine dioxide. If you use that and you don't absolutely obliterate Bacillus subtilis, it's a molecular signal for it to form biofilm. So people that are just playing with oxygen therapy, they might be creating their own biofilm.
Right.
So once you break down the biofilm, then that bacillus that had been living there, you know, they were set up in the projects, and they got gangs going on, and, you know, they got a shakedown operation, and they're living pretty well, man. you release those criminals out into the street, you damn well better be able to get them and destroy them, or the whole process is going to start over again.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, things like fermented food, if it's got the proper culture, will set up the friendlies to create dynamic balance. Because, you know, contrary to the idea, and hey, let's talk about the lime thing, because you brought it up, lime and biofilm. Contrary to popular belief that antibiotics kill bacteria, boy, that's one of the biggest lies on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't kill this stuff. You can only create a dynamic balance with it. So the good bugs keep the bad bugs at bay. They're the ones that actually put out the antibiotics. It's called bacteriocins. So they're having their wars in there. You let them fight it out. But right. Once you start throwing, okay, oh, I got Lyme disease, so I went to a Lyme illiterate doctor and he gave me doxycycline. Well, dumbass, what you just did is you took the cell wall off of the Lyme and now it has no surface antigens. Your immune system can't see it. You don't feel sick because you only feel sick when your immune system works. That's the most important thing to learn from the WHO memos, which are available on my PDF page of my website. Just look up 1972 WHO memos. If your immune system doesn't work, you can be loaded with lethal virus, not die, and feel great. As soon as your immune system turns on, you know, start digging a grave. So what they've done is they've taken the cell wall off of the Lyme. Your body can't see it, so you don't feel sick, but now that Lyme can go anywhere in your body and do anything that it wants. It's a free ticket to, like, and they call it stealth organism, to ghost its way in between and inside cells and really mess things up. And then later on, you might, like, reacquire that cell wall, and you'll feel sick, and you go, oh, I was in remission, but it came back. And then what do? They go back to the doctor for that antibiotic, and they create the cycle all over again. And that's why I call it alternative medicine, because it's not an alternative. They're making equal or worse mistakes as the people that you ran away from.
Right.
And who knows this shit? Oh, you said it was okay to say shit.
Yeah.
Who knows this stuff, Sholly? Who knows this stuff? I've been at this for over 30 years, and I've written 13 books. I transcribed 2 other books. And by the way, I've got a book on ferments, too, so let's call it 14 books, because 13 is such a lovely number. I've got 14 books out there, and it's taken close to 40 years to put this picture together. But who's telling you both sides of the story? Nobody. Why? Because they're all making money on it.
Yeah, and I just think in general, people, there was a book, I remember this was probably about 10 plus years ago, that the health industry, or like the alternative health, whether it be vitamins or whatever, was going to be this, like, you, there was going to be this huge economic boom in it. And of course, that's exactly what happened with so many diseases popping up and all that other stuff, that that alternative medicines and vitamins and things like that would become a very, very lucrative system if you should want to, you know, the individual out there would want to take part in it because it was going to boom. And of course, it's, you know,
billions of dollars, literally billions of dollars go into that industry to what? To limp us along. And, you know, make no mistake, I use supplements. Why? Because I was damaged by vaccines as well. I know that it's a stopgap. I've used supplements to a point, got over the deficiency, and then I continued on without the supplements. I still use certain supplements just to limp me along, because me and my research team, some of the best people this planet has to offer, they do selfless work for free. And what we're trying to do is find out how to correct the genetic damage, because, Charlie, this is the final word. We are damaged. Well, how did they damage us at the genetic level? Well, are we just going to go to Merck and pray that they'll give us a prescription for methylfolate, or are we going to get in there and change that single letter mutation so that we don't need their methylfolate? And that's what me and my team have been working on, is how to do a genetic reset.
Well, I mean, that sounds absolutely incredible, and I'm glad that you're out there doing that. I'm glad that you are, that you and they are there doing this, because we don't know. I mean, you're familiar with a lot of people, but again, like you said, there's who else is doing this? Who else is
nobody.
Talking about these things?
Nobody. I'm sorry to interrupt, but nobody is doing this. And why? Because they're either ignorant and they don't know to look at that level, at that level of science, to say, hey, you know, all we're doing is we're palliating disease. We're just taking the edge off while we're still going down the toilet. They're not going that far, or they're making money at it. So it's like, oh, yeah, take your turmeric. Go ahead, take your coconut oil. Don't worry that you got the Alzheimer's from prions, and the prions came from viruses. You know, don't worry about all that. Just take two of the three things that you need, and the symptoms will go away. And if you think I'm crazy, look up my 123 Dead and 123 Live pages on my website. Yeah. Alternative medicine is in on it. If they're not giving you the 123 method of getting rid of prion disease, they're part of the problem, man.
Well, okay. So we touched on a number of different things. I'm speaking with Patrick Jordan of vaccinefraud.com. And it's always, it's just one thing after the next. Something that Patrick says just kind of triggers me. It might take a week or two or 3 months or so for me to just kind of lock in on this methodology and this, the way to think about what's going on in the body and obviously what to do, and of course the markets and everything that get created around, especially like the methylfolate. Now, last night I sent you a number of things that, like, off the top of my head that I wanted you to address. We, yeah. You know, we've got, what do we got? David Cassidy just passed away. And then prior to him dying, he got this, you know, this dementia label of what was going on with him. And then eventually it led to organ failure. We're seeing so much more of this, so much more.
Okay, now David Cassidy, was he in like the Partridge Family? Was he famous?
He was, yeah. Okay. He was fortunate.
I hadn't heard of him in quite some time, so I did not know he had dementia. And that, again, it's like autism spectrum. So let's do this. Let's do the words. We're gonna pretend we're like Clint Richardson, man. Okay, what does dementia mean? And so one of my, you know, beautiful list members, Ms. Magoo, was trying to help a friend of the family through a really difficult time where they're going to put the woman in hospice. And they said, well, she's got dementia. And so Ms. Magoo says, well, what is dementia? And, you know, she was goading them. You know, she's one of those kind of people that'll poke you with a sharp finger. And the nurse just stopped, and you could see, like, the blank look on her face, and she goes, well, dementia is, we really don't know what it is.
Right.
Well, if you don't know what it is, why are you using the word? So dementia is a spectrum, just like autism spectrum. And why is it a spectrum? Because all these kids are not damaged in the same way. Why is that? Because they all got different vaccines, so they were damaged in different ways. It damaged different architecture of the brain. You get different symptomology. So you can get the ADD, the ADHD, the autism, the, you know, the autism where they can speak, the autism where they can't speak, the autism where they got no bowel control, the autism where they can't even eat. You know, it's just, it's so full spectrum, and like I said, full spectrum asymmetrical warfare. So when you look at dementia, what is it? And we don't know. You know, we didn't get a clinical diagnosis. And so then you're talking about organ failure. And when I read that, because he'd sent me an email on it, my first thought was, no, he didn't have organ failure. His central nervous system broke down, and it couldn't tell the organs what to do.
Right.
Because bodies are like a car. If you take the freaking carburetor off, car ain't going to work, man.
Yeah.
So they damaged his brain, and his brain could no longer send the signals to say, hey, heart pump or liver, you know, squeeze or this or that. It, we're all integrated systems, and they took out his mud pellet and everything else fell.
And you know what I do now because of a conversation that I heard that you and Clint have about Robin Williams? I start to look back in there. I try to find whether they had an operation, whether they had some kind of xenotransplantation.
Oh, yeah.
To see whether that was. And then I remember specifically you and Clint one night talking about Lewy bodies, Lewy, yep. L-E-W-Y. And I start to think, like, we know that Robin Williams had some kind of heart operation or of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, and they put, which, again, Clint points out, not only from, obviously, what he's learned from you, but also when he did the long-term Bible, you know, call it what it is, Bible study with
I like it.
With Daniel from Canada.
Yeah.
Where it says none of these barriers, the animals and animal parts should never be, and it doesn't say that, but animal parts should not be put into a human body.
Right.
I mean, it's almost as if the blueprint that they have is like, we're going to bastardize this system, this body. We're going to put things in it that it doesn't, that should not be. You know, this barrier should not be breached. Like you were talking about the pus from animals and things like that.
Right.
And
right.
Things, okay. And so I look for whether, you know, did he have some kind of operation? Did he have this? Did he have that? To see if there's a connection to, you know, Parkinson's or, I mean, they're all, they hit us with Parkinson's. They hit us with, you know, you got dementia, okay, which is right. The big umbrella. Then you got your Parkinson's, you've got Lou Gehrig's disease, you've yep. got all these other different, and it really makes it look like they're different types of neurological diseases, but at this, you know, in all reality, it's all the same thing.
So I love plugging my books, and I'm not necessarily plugging the book. I'm trying to make a connection here. I have to coin phrases. Like Judy Wood said that the World Trade Towers were dustified. She says there's no word in physics to describe what happened. So she made up her own word. She called it dustification. So I'm looking at the way that language has been used throughout time. And I came up first, you know, with what I called the Babylonian name change, because the gods of Mesopotamia were always the same, but for every different culture of every different era, they just renamed them and resold them. And then I thought, you know, selling, there's farmer jokes about, you know, guys selling the same mule or selling the same pig. And then it came to me, well, it's the same pig, different lipstick. And that's what you're talking about. That all they're doing is reselling an old idea, making it look different. And that's what the dementias are. It's all neurological damage. It all came from vaccines. And this is what you're talking about, Charlie, is the xenotransplantation, means alien, foreign transplantation. So do we really need the cancerous cervix of a black woman shot into us? And see, when you say it the way it is, the resounding response should be, what in the hell is he talking about? Well, look at your polio shot.
But most people just be like, ugh, that's so confusing that I'm not even... And, of course, they're not even going to ask the question because...
They're not going to ask. Their mind shut down for the terror of it.
I don't need to know that, but... didn't Oprah do something on this? Didn't she play?
She
Henrietta Lacks?
Basically worships Henrietta Lacks for donating what... Peter Duesberg didn't come out and say this. I'm synthesizing what he and Huxley from 1956 said, that cancer is a completely new species of parasite that is asserting itself over the host. That's what Duesberg said, that Huxley had said, you know, like 50 years earlier. So they're saying cancer is a parasite. It is like a doppelganger trying to take you over. Now, what is in the polio shot? The HeLa cells have been characterized by scientists as being a new life form because they were so aggressive. They were growing out of control, which is what they wanted. They wanted an immortal cell line. They were growing out of control, but they were escaping from their tissue culture bottles, their petri dishes, their test tubes, and they were infecting every other culture in labs across the world. And so I watched the movie series Species.
Right.
Absolutely horrible. I do not recommend watching that movie. It's horrible, but that's what came to mind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as soon as you did that. That created, you know, the species. It just grew out of this. I mean, just very quickly, right? I mean,
it was shocking. And Species was female in its gender. You know, so that's why I use that instead of The Thing, because me and Clint like the movie, you know, the later version, the Carpenter version of The Thing, because The Thing also had, like, you know, the silly string, the foam coming out of test tubes and stuff. Yeah. But Species was just so damaging to the brain, and, you know, once you get a movie like that in your head, you can't get it out. But then I'm reading, you know, clinically, you know, detached way, reading about Henrietta Lacks's cells literally taking over laboratories, and I go, oh my god, Species was a documentary.
Jeez. So not very many people know about Henrietta Lacks. When we talk about polio, this is one of the biggest so-called breakthroughs and one of the greatest things that's ever happened, Sabin and Salk, to cure polio and to eradicate it completely, which is what we were sold. But what really happened was something quite, quite different.
Let's take a look at the word eradication. According to them, and we're just looking at like grade school populations, right, you have to have 90% compliance of vaccination in order to eradicate something like whooping cough or mumps, because it keeps coming back, doesn't it? That means we have to vaccinate more kids. And, of course, you know, what the kids are getting are the vaccine versions of these diseases. You know, so it's like there's always the side issue. But if we just look at what they say is, for herd immunity, which is a word that they co-opted, it has nothing to do with them. For herd immunity, you need 90% or better compliance. Well, let's go to just smallpox, because that was their first eradication, their global eradication program. They claimed to eradicate smallpox by vaccinating. They could not have vaccinated more than 10% of the world population. So how do you claim that you have to have 90% compliance to eradicate a disease in grade school kids, yet worldwide they eliminated smallpox by vaccinating 10% of the world population? So, and this came from Bernays and Hitler and all the rest. If you tell a lie, and it's a big one, you know that you got the population hooked. So they simply picked up the, 6 million Jews died in World War I, and that didn't work, so they used it in World War II. And so they said, well, we eradicated smallpox, we'll do the same thing with polio. Again, you don't have 90% compliance, coverage, whatever, of polio inoculation across the world. It can't be eradicated. You can't claim that it has been eradicated is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And you can't eradicate it with a vaccine. That does not work. That's proved by Cruikshank in 1889. Cruikshank proved that Jenner was a fraud. So let's just look at it. If you call it the way it is, then there is no debate. Cruikshank, Edgar March Cruikshank, 1889, History and Pathology of Vaccination, proved that Jenner was a fraud. Well, what does that mean in science? If you start with a false premise, everything that follows is false. So what does that mean? This is the part where people like to remain ignorant, because after all, those sciencey people, they know more about life than we do, and they're working in our best interest. No, they're freaking liars, and they're lying with a military purpose, and so they've covered up that Jenner was a fraud, his stuff doesn't work, and then they give you fake science to prove it.
Absolutely. They've had...
So what does that mean about polio? Well, if Jenner was a fraud, polio is a fraud. So, and in a world of disbelief, everything, in a world of crisis action, false flag operations, you saw a picture. And this is the beautiful thing about the first Gulf War. They showed the same picture of the same missile going down the same chimney for like 3 months.
Right.
Okay. They showed you a picture of a freaking iron lung and said, you need a vaccine. Really? Because, in retrospect, people are saying that FDR, who is one of the biggest criminals that ever walked the face of this planet, FDR probably didn't have polio. He probably had Guillain-Barré. Now you tell me where Guillain-Barré comes from. Oh, I'll scoop you. Vaccines.
All right. So, these guys are all part of these extended families. We're seeing more of it. So why would they be taking these vaccines? Or is it just? You look at Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. Nobody told him, hey, stop eating McDonald's, asshole. Stop eating McDonald's, Bill, in between, your rapes and sexual molestations.
Stop it, man.
And so he looks bad today. He's part of the family. Do these guys, do they get brought into the whole we know, I've heard stories of the royal family. A lot of these people, they only eat organic. They don't deal with the doof that gets provided to us. But you often wonder, at what level are these people? Are they even if they are family, and a lot of the presidents are related, that Clint pointed out in his when he did his genealogy. I'm sorry, his genealogical, three or four shows, which it didn't surprise me, but I still, found it fascinating with Obama being related to Dick Cheney. And at that point, I'm like, of course, it makes sense. It's a family affair.
Right.
So for him to be, for FDR to have gotten a vaccine that was tainted, you would think.
Well, and see, what you have to do, whether or not you think it's a legitimate document or not, it doesn't matter. The protocols of Zion are accurate. And in that, the elders, which means the ones that run the show behind the curtain, call presidents who they appoint impersonal puppets. So they also talk about their lesser brethren. So, you know, the knee-jerk reaction would be, oh, well, that's the Yahudim saying that, you know, their own people are basically cannon fodder.
Right.
You know, why would they do that? Well, that's what they do. When in the Billabong, which means the swamp in Australia, when the water gets low in the Billabong, the crocodiles will eat each other. That's what they do. And so the elders call presidents who they put in power. You know, nobody, you know, watch a Nota by Clint Richardson. Nobody elects a president. You didn't vote him in. He was put there. So if they were put there, they're a tool. And so if they want control over these tools, they will either give them or withhold information. And so to have, you know, like I said, we don't know what the nature of the countdown timer is, but if it does come from vaccines, if you put a countdown timer in a president, then you've got control over them. You can say, oh, you know, you got this terrible disease, but, you know, if you go to our doctor, we might let you live longer because we got pictures of you buggering little kids and you got out of control and we need to, you know, we need backup. In case releasing the pictures isn't good enough.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So you know, and Shali, let's take a look at this. If they treat their own people, this is what I try to teach. You know, the people like to use the word Jew. I've changed it to Yahudim because it covers not only the three clans of Noah, but all of the quote-unquote Goy or white people, if you will, that are in collaboration with them. The Yahudim, those who follow Yahu, are so heinous that they will kill their own people. Then why would you think that any life form on this planet is exempt? They're biocidal agents. When I saw it, it made me sick. And I'm not valuing a 3,000-year-old olive tree over a human being. But when the Israelis invaded Palestine, these 20-year-old soldiers in bulldozers were pushing down 3,000-year-old olive trees. And that's when I came up with the term biocide. They're so insane, they kill every living thing.
Yeah, and you see what's going on over there now with the with Trump's declaration.
Well, we got pictures of Trump at the Wailing Wall with a yarmulke on.
Yeah.
Now, see, and because I'm releasing a video now on Sophia, the robot.
Oh, right.
I've got pictures of Trump and the Pope at the Wailing Wall, both wearing skull caps. And you need to understand something. If you're not family, you're not allowed to touch that wall, man. You're not even allowed into that section.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that should pull people up short. It's like Trump wearing a skull cap, touching the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and this is my little shout-out. People have been bugging me. Because, you know, like I said, all I do 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, is try to fix the world. And I take my spare time, if there is such a thing, to make my videos. And I've got two videos that I'm going to release. One's on Sophia, the AI Terminator. And the other one is on gender fluidity, which is another CIA op that's just rehashing the 1960s. They got us in these cycles, and nobody's seeing the patterns. That's what this is all about. Shali, I'm not unique. I'm not special. I'm not smart. All I got is what Mensa realized is you don't need to know 1492 Columbus. You don't need to know that. Facts are useless. Can you see a pattern? I'm a pattern recognizer. So gender fluidity, I blow that thing right out of the water.
It's been a while since you put a video out, though, has it?
Yeah, that's why, you know, people have been really on my case. It's like, it's been months, you know, when's the next
one? I get the notification, so, like, whenever you put one out, I'll get it. It's been a while since I saw one, but I know that you're in the works. Everything, you know, I know that
I got like 10 videos that have been scripted, and it takes a while to put. And they're slideshows; they're not really videos. You know, I'm so damn poor, I can't afford to wipe my butt, so I don't eat, so I don't need toilet paper. And Charlie, you know, I appreciate you having me on. And I've put you off for quite some time because, you know, what I'm doing, I'm trying to fix the world. But in doing so, I got, like, over 3 years behind in farm chores. And I figured, you know what, I've got to fix things out here. And I'm getting close to, like, a year and a half behind in what I need to do. And you had invited me several times. And I thought, you know what, I think I'll get back on the horse. So thank you for having me, by the way.
No worries. It's an open door, man. You're anytime. Anytime at all.
Open them can of worms.
you're one of creation's greatest creations, and I'm damn glad to be associated with you and know you. You know, I'd take a bullet for you, bro. I mean, what?
Don't do that. Cause a stick man, you might just be standing behind me when they shoot me.
Well, I'm a pretty good target, so I'll protect you. You know, it's about it's about people doing what is right, and there's very few people out there that are actually doing anything for anyone but themselves. I just see it day in and day out, the selfishness, the egotistical, those people, those 20 somethings out there that think that they've got it all figured out. You know, they did kind of the right thing by not voting for Hillary, but then,
man, you hurt me.
Buying into the whole Trump thing. And I don't hate Trump. I just understand that he is obviously a symptom of the greater disease that is this United States corporation, which is just just everything about our reality, everything about this world, whether it's round or flat or God only knows. I know that you've been kind of entertaining, and it was nice to see that you were kind of entertaining, you know, the possibilities, because you know, that's what makes you the interesting, unique.
I don't have the name for it, and you know, if people want this stuff, all they have to do is email me, and I'll give them the supporting material. But all they have to do is look up the slow-mo guys, and they take like a Nerf ball and stick it in a bucket of water, and then they spin it, and they take a slow-motion picture of it. And the water comes off of it like a spinning galaxy. And so that alone, I'm going to tell you something. That video right there tells me we aren't on a globe. That's all I got to say about that, man.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at it, we've touched on a number of different things. When you look at it, there's just no way that we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour right now.
Some people are, because they're pretty dizzy, but, you know, physics-wise, yeah, it can't happen. So
in 1959, and we're talking about a timeline of deception here. So 1959, they create the Arctic Treaty so that nobody is allowed to go down there. Of course, Admiral Byrd went down there. And this is why I don't really trust, you know, I don't trust Russia. I watch the Russian news on RT. But
cool.
I believe that this is that they're together on all this stuff. But when you do a 1959 Arctic Treaty, and then in between that time and 69, when we supposedly went to the moon, which is just ridiculous, they started. That's when you got Star Trek, And they had it all, Roddenberry had it all figured out that there was all this stuff. So they, in between 59 and 69, when they started doing the whole sci-fi stuff and getting everybody hooked on, you know, Bones and Spock and Kirk and all these guys, and they're to boldly go where no, you know, and then the Klingons, right? They just, dude, it was just like a systematic rollout of we're even going to deceive them about where they are, what we're doing here, just the whole thing. It's just, and then, I mean, this is a thing that the people, they even get more adamant about the fact that you're telling them that they're not where they think that they are, especially with these people that are, they're all about, you know, the science, you know. If you've ever seen any of these videos with Bill Nye, where look up the one where he's talking to Tucker Carlson, where Carlson's just asking him like simple little questions. He's not denying. He's not like completely on the opposite. And then Bill Nye is just like he's like a demon, man. And when he uncloaks, dude, he's ready to kill you. It's just unbelievable. But these scientists and these people, and that's where the whole flattering titles come in. It's like, I don't care what your title is, I am not impressed by you. And that's the way it is. And then somebody be like, what are you jealous because this person is like has this flattering title? And then I tell them, I said, you know, flattering titles are sins. Oh, what are you, a Bible thumper? No, I'm not a Bible thumper, but
Bill and I, I follow a lot of things. I was following the gender fluidity thing, and he was a big proponent of that. And the critique on the video on that topic that featured him was he's not even a scientist. He's like some kind of engineer.
Yeah.
Some kind of, you know, mechanical engineer. So Bill Nye, the science guy, doesn't even have like a PhD in science.
And I didn't even know like who Bill Nye was. And then what it was I was hanging out with a bunch of people, and then there's Bill Nye on the TV, and they're like, oh, Bill Nye, the science guy, look, oh, I love this show. And there you have it. They put
love the show because nobody can recognize by facial features, and I'm going to say this is not a typo, the 13 tribes, because all the only people that get into the media and politics, any worldview, our family, just like you're saying, Trump is related to Hillary, is related to Bush, is related to, they're all cousins. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get, Bill Nye is not going to get there unless he's family. So my question to the world has always been, why are you always getting your information from family? Because they are pathological liars.
Right. And I mean, it's like, why would they give up their flattering title and all the money that they make? I mean, look at Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, do you science, bro? Like everybody that sees him, he's like this popular culture. Like, oh, dude, he's NASA. He tells us about the stars and he tells us about the planets. I mean, we've been just so. But if you don't believe him, not only are you anti-science, you're not. You don't believe in climate change, and you're a racist, by the way, because he's black and you're white. If you're white saying it, it's probably better off to get a black guy to say that Neil deGrasse Tyson is full of shit. But
the Earth is shaped like a pear.
Yeah, it's something other than. I'm not saying that it's a flat pancake, but I mean, it's not round. This is ridiculous. And then you think about the whole. If this is not what it is. Okay, then what is it you've been hearing, or I know I've been hearing a lot of stuff about this Nibiru, this red dwarf planet that's gonna, you know, come, it's gonna fly past Earth and it's gonna bring all its intergalactic dingleberries and it's gonna cause all kinds of chaos.
I've been waiting for that since 2008. It's like, I want my money back. You know, you made all these predictions that the world is gonna end. I haven't gotten any comets, and you know, give me a refund.
Yeah, there's some, you know, it's like everything that they've said, and like opposite day, feet. Opposite day is the key here. It's the opposite of anything that, you know, some form. It's 180 degrees or it's 90 degrees, but it's not the damn truth.
Well, and see, Mimi, the queen of meme, is one of our little red hens, and she can summarize something in a single sentence just hearing something right, you know, from the beginning. She'll just say, this is what it is, and it'll be spot on, one sentence, perfect. She said that if you're in a ship, you only have to be 1 degree off, and if you're on a long journey, you're never going to make your destination, man.
Yeah.
1 degree.
1 degree. So
yeah, whatever they're promoting, whatever they're saying, if you go in the opposite direction, typically you're going to preserve your life.
Exactly. If you go in any other direction than what they're pointing you, you've got a better chance of surviving.
Yeah.
Surviving and thriving. And
I love the Monty Python, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, they're being attacked by the fanged rabbit. What's their response? Run away!
We got. So I know that we discussed one thing.
We're 2 hours into it, man.
Yeah, we're out of...
we barely got started. Where's that email you sent me? Okay, so Robin Williams.
We got about 3 minutes, but a little less than two. But yeah, Are concussions the symptoms in the NFL really caused by impact, or is this bovine spongiform encephalopathy?
Well, and see, this is another concept that I've introduced to the world. It's the genie that's come out of the bottle, and now the AI has no power over the human race. Continuum would state that do not focus. Don't think, okay, you got injury impact. Is it just the trauma? Is it BSE? Is it, what we've just found out is you can have herpes in your central nervous system, and as soon as you get any kind of crush or, opening damage to the nervous system, then it can infiltrate any tissue from that point.
Right.
So you can have herpes. You can have BSE. What does BSE? Some people say that Alzheimer's, which is a prion disease, originates from herpes. Herpes in the brain, central nervous system. Herpes is a nervous, it's a neurotropic virus. Ooh, wait, viruses don't exist. Okay, so the tropism means what? Herpes can, and this is a big idea, we're closing the show with a huge idea. Herpes can live in your white blood cells. That's like putting a gangbanger in a cop uniform. That's a big idea. I'm going to do a video exposing what me and the Red Hens have uncovered on that. So in continuum, we would say, don't stop at the trauma, don't stop at the virus, don't stop at the prion. We're going to say all of the above. It happens in continuum.
Wow. Thanks to Patrick Jordan for joining me today on Cult Reality Radio here on the UCY.TV Broadcast Network. VaccineFraud.com is his website. It is a plethora of hidden knowledge, not so much hidden, but what do they call that knowledge? It's forbidden.
Yeah.
Hidden knowledge. So get on over there.
Having me, man.
And I will Patrick will hopefully be on again with us shortly, and we're just gonna continue to talk about what most people would consider just
only one holistic system of systems.
I will MK Ultra ya, put the MK scope on ya. If the MK hits you, it's guaranteed to open ya. 7mm Mach 110, 220 rounds a minute, try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list, that's retarded babble. Protesters make you Hitler as soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim.
That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary for the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor stepping to them.